Privatization of Roads and Highways by Walter Block. Chapter 8, Roads and the Immigration Issue. There's a debate now raging within libertarian circles concerning the immigration issue. Should government restrict immigration, or should people be allowed to cross international borders with impunity without any leaves or permission granted by the state? We consider this issue in the present chapter, since private highways would potentially play an integral role in its determination. Since this immigration debate is entirely an intra-libertarian one, all sides would agree to stipulate that, at least ideally, government would play no role in the ownership and management of roads. We then assume this to be the case, arguendo. What is this immigration debate? The anti-immigration side maintains that free immigration amounts to trespass or forced integration. Since all property, not just roads, would be owned in the free society by private individuals, any immigration must of necessity cross this private property rights boundaries. As such, without the willing consent of the owner, free immigration amounts to trespass or forced integration. Nothing any advocate of free enterprise would be expected to support. This is to be sharply distinguished from the free movement of goods, money, and capital across national boundaries. In this latter case, there is mutual agreement between the buyer and the seller, the consumer and the producer, the lender and the borrower, the saver and the investor. Goods, money, and capital crosses border only under such circumstances of mutual agreement. In contrast, immigration is not an instance of such two-part voluntariness. Rather, the immigrant, as it were, plunks himself down in the foreign country with no permission required of any other second-party private property owner. What is the position of the free immigration side of this debate? First, it starts off by conceding the absolute truth of what has just been said. If all property is privately owned, there is no scope whatsoever for immigration of this sort. However, and this however is the crux of the argument, not all property is owned privately at present. Surprise! The evil government owns a large swatch of it, mainly in Alaska and west of the Mississippi, but throughout every state in the nation, without exception. This being the case, no permission of any extent landlord is needed. Homesteading is a one-way arrangement, not a two-way one, such as foreign trade or investment. If Americans act like sheep and decline to homestead those unknown areas, in defiance of their government, they can serve no proper objection if foreigners show a bit more initiative and spunk. Nor is the objection tenable from the anti-immigration perspective that Americans really own this unsettled tract of land, or worse, that government does. For surely it is an uncontroversial premise, at least within the libertarian community, that the only just source of private property rights is homesteading, and thus anyone interfering with a homesteader peacefully going about his business is guilty of the initiation of violence. Since there is no reason to distinguish between foreign and domestic would-be homesteaders, the case of precluding the former, or the latter, certainly, on grounds of trespass, vanishes. How does this argument fit in with the institution of private roads? Simple. Assume that foreign homesteaders helicopter over to unowned, that is, government-claimed land in, say, central Wyoming and begin to settle there. Can they enter onto private roads and have surface access to the entire country, indeed to all of North America? Or will they be confined to helicopter or plane travel where they venture out of newly homesteaded territory? There is also a second way in which the issue of private roads impinges upon that of immigration. Go back to the Hobbesian scenario of complete private ownership. Suppose there were a US citizen who purchased, or otherwise legitimately come to own, a vast tract of land in the middle of Alaska, or Nevada, thousands of square miles. He then invited, suppose, 1 billion Chinese or African or South American or other foreigners to come and live and work on his land, since this is a mutually upon situation. There can be no question of trespassing, but the question still remains, would these hordes of people be confined to these hinterlands or apart from air travel with willing hosts at the other end of those trips? Would they have access to all surrounding territory through the roadway networks as in the case of other people? Thus, we arrive at the same question from both sources. One, if the foreigner homesteaded out of the way places on their own. And two, if an American property owner invites numerous foreigners onto his territory, will these people be able to prelocate throughout the entire country as is the practice for everyone else? Or will they be confined by the institution of private road ownership to their beachheads? But perhaps we go too fast in blithely assuming that everyone else, all those other people already living in domestic country, will have full freedom of movement. If they do not, the way ahead is easier to see where the newcomers will not enjoy these privileges either. After all, while racial or sexual, ethnic orientation, etc., etc., discrimination is pretty much against the law of the land, it by no means contravenes libertarianism, the philosophy now under discussion. So, will all racial, sexual, and ethnic, etc. groups be allowed onto the private network of roads, streets, and highways or not? We ask under the assumption that at least on the first go-round of this, that new foreigners will be treated roughly in the same manner as domestic minority groups. The problem with this question is that it is exceedingly difficult to anticipate the operation of the free enterprise system regarding the road industry or indeed any other for that matter. This task is essentially an entrepreneurial, not an economic one. If so pedestrian an item as pencils were suddenly moved from the public to the private sector, the analogous question would come fast and furious, with no obvious objective answers in sight. How long, wide, thick, and heavy would these writings implements be? Would erasers be attached? And if so, how so? And if not, who would supply the latter? Would there be specialty stores that sold pencils? Or would they be marketed alongside other office materials? How much would they cost? What profits would be earned on them? Who would attach the wood, graphite, rubber to one another, and how on earth would they be gathered together in one place, given that they come from different ends of the earth? We would have no definitive answer to any of these questions, except we should wait and see what the working of the marketplace churns up. However, had Penn always been in the private sector, we might well attempt to extrapolate the future story of the pencil from that example, and this is precisely the tack we shall take in our attempt to foretell the likely reaction of a completely privatized road industry to the questions about street and highway discrimination we are addressing. That is, we shall focus on a related experience and see if it can shed any light, however clouded, about any possible future road operations. One answer that might be discerned is that discrimination, if it does occur, would likely take place on the basis of uncivilized or obstreperous behavior, not mere skin color, unless the two were highly correlated and the latter could be used as a cheap proxy variable or indicator of the former. Even status police, who are sometimes accused of racial profiling, rarely, if ever, interdict a black grandmother. Rather, they tend to focus on that subset of the population proportionately overrepresented in the crime statistics. Male from about ages 15 to 25, of whatever race, with the exception of those in this age-gender cohort who are easily identifiable as being far removed from the police blotter of the nation. For example, male teens who are Chasidic or Amish or are wearing clerical collars. As it happens, however, for reasons that do not concern us at present, different racial and ethnic groups are differently represented in terms of such unwelcome behavior. Blacks for ordinary crime, Arabs and Muslims for terrorism. It is safe to say then, as much as it is safe to say anything about how a hypothetical highway industry would operate in the future, that these groups would be more likely to be singled out for heavier scrutiny before being allowed out onto private highways, and perhaps in some cases even forbidden entry. Yes, certain benefit would not accrue to owners who turn away customers. Discrimination costs money to firms who engage in such practices. However, the presumption here is that these losses would be more than offset by a majority of paying customers who appreciate the added safety, thereby vouchsafed for them. Let us now return to the question with which we began. We asked if massive number of foreign immigrants would likely have the run of the place under a regime of private road ownership. Peering through the murky roads necessarily surrounding such essentially entrepreneurial issues, my own personal best guess is that this would depend almost totally upon the behavior. If they are hardworking and industrious, good safe drivers, not given to any criminal behavior, then the likely answer is yes. If not, then not. Another dimension comes into play with regard to road access. There are already gated communities which place all would-be entrants under a veritable microscope before allowing admission. To gain entry onto those private low-traffic capacity streets, one must typically convince an armed guard of his bona fides. It is often buttressed by an on-the-spot telephone call to the person being visited. There is very little acceptance in such venues of outsiders who wish to engage in joyriding, house viewing, window shopping, touring around, etc. In contrast, nowadays, the level of examination for major traffic arteries is much less. This might imply that on the foreign immigrant homesteaders, or invitee might find more of a welcome on the highways rather than on the byways of the nation. But any such conclusion is fraught with danger, as ceteris paribus conditions do not at all hold at present. Specifically, the heightened scrutiny for gated community is all private, while the more relaxed, not to say cavalier, treatment, virtual anonymity for motorists who do not negatively distinguish themselves, is almost entirely a practice of public police. Another possible implication, then, of an all-private roadway system might well be increased care with regards to what the customers are up to for all roads, no matter what their traffic-bearing capacity. This would have greater negative implication for the freedom of movement of newcomers and subcategories for the native population who are criminally oriented. Most likely, perhaps, is that private road owners would invest more in information gathering for vehicle owners who seek access to residential neighborhoods for those who whiz along a highway at 70 miles per hour. What must never be lost sight in any such analysis is the high probability that there will be different practices with regards to such safety concern on different roads. This typically occurs concerning virtually all goods and services produced. Burger, car, amusement park, entrepreneurs, etc. are now free to implement whatever policies and procedure that seem to them likely to maximize profits. At present, we are all too much accustomed to the rules of road emanating from Washington, D.C. In our one-size-fit-all current practice, there is simply no scope for trying one thing on one street or avenue and something else on another. Thus, we must take with a large grain of salt any one policy adumbrated above. Of course, if there is reason that some policies are more profitable than others, for example, cheaper, more in line with customer taste, etc., the marketplace will tend in that direction, penalizing those firms that do not go along. This is only this latter phenomenon that allows us to speculatively peer through the fog to the degree we have.